We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Well, how about it is October already. Good afternoon and welcome. I am Lynn Hayes Freeland, and this is Journey to Medicine. It's a monthly program that we do here on KDKA Radio in cooperation with the Gateway Medical Society that looks at issues facing African Americans and their medical care. We have an interesting perspective for today's conversation because one of the reasons that the Journey to Medicine program was created was to get more African American males in particular interested in the field of medicine. And then later this month, Gateway Medical Society is going to be celebrating some students, local students, who are interested in medicine at their annual scholarship event. So we're going to talk about the need for more African Americans in the medical community and what the experience is like in 2022 for those African American males who do choose that career. Joining me today for our conversation, almost like a regular on this show anyway, Dr. William Simmons. He is an associate professor of anesthesiology at the University of Pittsburgh Medical School, as well as the past president of the Gateway Medical Society. And he wears so many hats, it would probably take most of the show if I listed them all. So I'm just going to say welcome back, Dr. Simmons.
I am very happy to be here. I actually am retired from the University of Pittsburgh. I am doing some other things, however, but I'm no longer there at the medical school.
Wow. So this is like breaking news. I had no idea, but I'm glad you're still with us. So that's a good thing. And maybe we can, I think I know one of the things you're involved in. So maybe we can work that into the conversation as well. You let me know. Joining us as well is Odell Minifield, who is a graduate of Pittsburgh Alderdice within the Pittsburgh Public Schools and a student at the University of Pittsburgh's Medical School. Welcome, Odell.
Welcome. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, we're glad to have you here. Lots that I want to talk to you about. But Dr. Simmons, I'm going to start with you. And I like to assume that everyone listens to every one of these broadcasts, but I know that's not necessarily the case. But I want to talk to you a little bit about this notion, this idea that having more African-American male doctors in the pipeline makes a difference. Talk to me about that idea.
And I'm going to say not just male, but male and female African-Americans. There are several different aspects that you can look at this. One, the African-American population, when they go to physicians, many of them do not get the kind of information that they need because they don't feel comfortable communicating with someone who does not have a rapport or does not establish a rapport with them. It is even proven in many studies that black doctors establish a better rapport with black patients and any other patients as well. But they establish that rapport, allow people to open up, they talk more, they let them know more about their medical problems. And you can help people much better if you actually have all of the information. When my grandmother used to come back from the doctors, and we'd ask him, well, did you tell him this? And did you tell him that? And they said, no, I didn't say anything. And that's the problem. They never open up to these because they don't have that rapport. black doctors develop those rapport. Even if you are a black doctor that went to a school that is not as horty as Harvard or the other high level schools, if you have ability to develop rapport, it is shown that you have you do much better and the patients do much better under your care than they do under all of these other patients, all of these other doctors that don't seem to take the time to actually get to know their patients.
So then what is the biggest obstacle? I mean, because these numbers have been a challenge for a long time in terms of African-American representation in these ranks. So what's been the biggest challenge?
The biggest challenge is education. That is, many of the schools that our kids, African-American kids go to, don't have a reputation of sending their students and getting them interested in science, technology, engineering, and math so that they would be prepared. They're not just graduate from high school, but college ready and prepared to go in and make and do well in the sciences so that they can be in a position to be considered for medical school or business school or law school or whatever. But we need to have just better preparation. It is mentorship that is the key. Young people that have mentors, someone who holds them accountable, someone who comes that walks beside them and keeps them interested in the fields that they are looking at, those are the kinds of situations that students tend to do much better. And it's not like you have to have the same mentor all the time. As you develop, as you go up from one step to another step, you can get different mentors along the way. But these are people that walk beside you and keep you focused on the job, keep you focused on your education, keep you focused, and then eventually allow you to get to that level that you are seeking to attain.
So that's probably a good place to bring Odell into the conversation. Odell, give me an idea. Had becoming a doctor always been on your radar? Was that something that you always wanted to do? Or was it an interest that developed over time?
Oh, I would like to say it was definitely something that I, you know, always had in mind. It's something I've always wanted to do. But it kind of came more into the forefront when I got to sixth grade and when I started getting recruited by the Gateway Medical Society for the Journey to Medicine program. And that kind of just springboarded my interest into medicine and, you know, just being able to take the opportunities that they gave me, which I'm very grateful for, is what, you know, helped me propel myself to where I am now. So it was definitely something that was on my mind, but something that came in more into fruition later on, I guess to say.
Was it something, I'm going to ask you this real quick, we'll take a break, then come back with more. At what point in your journey did you begin to realize that this, in fact, was something you could obtain?
I would definitely say, definitely in high school and college, I definitely realized from just the support of some of my mentors, some of my professors, teachers, they saw something in me that I didn't see in myself. In terms of how well I can do, work or the knowledge base that I had, whatever it may have been, they always influenced me and supported me to say that I was, special in the fact that I can do something that I didn't see so much in myself. That's kind of, I guess the end of high school and into the college was something that a point in time which I got that support and kind of got that ability to say, like, oh, hey, I can do this, I definitely say that's probably the period of time for me.
I got so many questions I want to ask you. We're going to take a break. You're listening to Minority Health Matters. It's Saturday afternoon, October 1st. I am Lynn Hayes Freeland, and I'm awfully glad you're with us. Stick around. Minority Health Matters. That's the name of this show. And it's interesting we're having this conversation because we've done this show for a couple of years now. By the way, just for the record, it's on the first Saturday of every month. But I have heard from I've heard from some listeners from time to time, and Dr. Simmons, I'm going to address this to you first, that, you know, sometimes the listeners say, hey, you know, that just, it feels racist. It feels like you're saying that only black doctors can handle black patients. And if we said only white doctors should handle white patients, we would be racist. I'm sure that you've heard that type of response as well.
Yes, but that's not the that's not truly what I was implying, if that was misunderstood. The thing that I am, if you look at the at some of the statistics that are with us, we have a problem in the medical field where African American medical problems seem to not get as much attention. And I'm looking at newborns or birth rates of babies. For some reason, there's only 3 in 1,000 white babies that tend to have a problem at birth or at death, whereas it is 13 in 1,000 black babies. And say in Pittsburgh, where that actually is the numbers, they go to the same hospitals. They go to the same, there's only the few places that you can, mothers can go, and they go to the same places, yet the problems are different. With diabetes, and both whites and blacks have diabetes, but black people have 4 times more below-the-knee amputations from chronic problems associated with diabetes than any other race. The problems with heart disease, when we had the problem with understanding some of the difficulties that black people with low incomes have to face, like during COVID, all of the doctors decided that, well, if you came online and spoke to me, that would be better. Unfortunately, nobody seemed to realize that in the inner city, they don't have connectivity. Mm. They didn't have the connectivity to be able to go online or the savvy to be able to explain their medical problems to someone over the internet and get the same results that they would if they were face to face. And those are the kinds of things that people who are of color will recognize when they see another person of color and know what their limitations are and try to help them through it in a way that other folks may not be able to. And that's what I'm saying.
Point well taken. Odell, let me now turn that around to you. As you are now in the midst of this journey, are these things that are on your mind?
Oh, yeah, for sure. You know, it all starts with representation. And, you know, just even reflecting upon my class that I came into medical school with, there's not that many of, you know, of people of African-American descent there in my class. I probably only have 8 out of 160 students, you know, and I'm one of those 8. So it's very difficult, you know, to see this while in the midst of medical school, that you're not really having this representation in that. But the positive spin of that also is that, you know, I do have times where I'm in the hospital, I'm doing different rotations and things like of that nature. And, you know, just some of the faces and the reactions of black patients that when they see me and they see representation, it just lightens your day. And it just makes you, you know, feel like this is what I need to do. This is why I'm here for this representation and for our, you know, African-American patients, for people that look like us to feel comforted in the hospital. Because, you know, in the past, you know, we've had things like the Tuskegee syphilis study or, you know, the birth mortality rates that we have. We have those negative aspects in medicine that are under, you know, that are reflective of the black community that we don't see representation for. And I think that's the greatest adversary in terms of those different problems, is the lack of representation. So it makes me feel positive that just being there and being present will lighten up somebody's day and make a patient more willing to tell you what's going on and be more attentive to you and your care. So,
okay, so now let's talk about this. And I'd actually like to address it. I'd like to start with you, Odell, and then we'll bring Dr. Simmons in. I mean, the realities are, you mentioned, Odell, that you got interested in the possibility of a medical career. through your experiences through Journey to Medicine. So clearly that part of the program works. I am curious what the reaction of friends were when you got involved in this program. Were they supportive? Did they feel like, man, you are wasting your time? What kind of reaction did you get from people?
Oh, I mean, I honestly had very positive reactions. A lot of my friends that I've had when I started the Journey to Medicine program are still some of my close friends to this day. You know, I have a group of friends that have been with me since, you know, sixth grade. That I'm still very close with now. And even people in my neighborhood and, you know, people when people caught wind that I was, you know, in this program or going to medical school or going to college, it was just so much positive feedback that I received from being in the program. I actually didn't get too much negative feedback. So that's something that I'm, you know, now reflecting on to say it. It's definitely very, like, I'm very grateful for the support and attention that I received from this.
So then, Dr. Simmons, based on what Odell is saying, this whole idea that sometimes African-American males that are interested in math and science or medicine or biology get labeled as like the geeks or something maybe a little more negative. I don't know that geek is necessarily negative, but there is a perception that a lot of times our young men in particular don't pursue these careers because they're not considered cool, like being in the NFL.
Unfortunately, that is true. There are many things that we do in the Journey to Medicine programs to try to isolate our students from those kinds of perceptions. When they are going to from junior high to high school, we try to get them to a point where their grade point average is such that they can qualify to go into the advanced placement programs in the high schools. And the reason for that is that we've had students who are in general population in high schools, and when they try to raise their hands in class or when they try to show interest and so forth, they get harassed by the other black students, and they get harassed and they to the point where they want to not get involved to the degree that they would like to because they have interest in these areas. But in the advanced placement programs of those various high schools around, everyone is college bound, and so everyone is interested, and so they don't receive that kind of harassment, and that's the only way that we have to try to isolate them from those kinds of problems that can sometimes occur. So our absolute goal is to try to get them into the advanced placement programs of the school because the students that are in those advanced placement programs truly are interested in learning, they're interested in education, and they're college bound. And that is the whole atmosphere or mentality that we want to have our students.
And there's a reason, I'm guessing, why the Journey to Medicine program begins for students in the sixth grade.
If we could start earlier than the sixth grade, statistics actually show that the earlier you start, the absolute better. But once you get to the high school level, many kids have their minds made up on their perception of education, what they want to do in their life, or the negative perceptions that they have been fed by members of the community or their friends and so forth. And so they are resistant to these kinds of intense mentorship that we do in the Journey to Medicine program. But so we start while they are still basically listening to their parents, adult figures. And so in the sixth grade, we can have a bigger impact and start a trend, and get them interested at a level where that interest can be carried on. Because one of the things is that when we only work with these kids from 6th to 12th grade, when they go off to college, they're on their own. And fortunately, the mentorship that we give them during that 6th to 12th grade carries on in college to keep them motivated. We try to get these kids to the point where they are self-motivated and they don't have to have somebody with them.
And that's
let me jump in for just a second because we got to take a break. We're going to get the latest on local news. But when we come back, I want to talk about scholarships and money because that's the one thing we haven't talked about. And I'm guessing that's a big obstacle as well. You're listening to Minority Health Matters. We're back with Minority Health Matters. I am Lynn Hayes Freeland, and this is a show that we do on the first Saturday of every month in cooperation with the folks at Gateway Medical Society and their Journey to Medicine program. My guest today, Dr. William Simmons and Odell Minifield. Dr. Simmons has been a regular, has made regular appearances on this show. So let me just, and Dr. Simmons, you go as far as you feel comfortable, because when I introduced you, I mentioned that I said that you were a professor in anesthesiology at the University of Pittsburgh Medical School. You then corrected me and told me you've moved on to bigger and better things, or I won't say bigger and better, but moved on, certainly. Is there anything you can tell us about that you're doing now?
Well, I've always been interested in doing things for the community, and I am actively involved as a board member of Brothers Brothers Foundation. Brothers Brothers Foundation is, if you've been reading in the newspapers, is a group that wherever there's a problem in the world, the tsunamis, floods, wars, whatever, they try to send good services and partner with other people to help the needs of the individuals. I am chair of the board of Allen Place Community Center, which is a very vibrant and active community center that takes care of issues on diabetes, high blood pressure, heart disease in the Black community on the north side in the city as a whole. Actively involved in 100 Black Men, board member, and their mentorship programs and other programs that they have around the city and in the state. I started a company called Simmons Medical Consultant Services, where I continue to work as an anesthesiologist and in various communities around the state of Pennsylvania that have significant need. I am consulted to come in and help them in various different levels, and it has been a lot of fun and excitement. I did all of this because every time I talk to the young people, I'm always talking to them about being entrepreneurs and starting businesses and being a part of what goes on in businesses if you can. And someone challenged me and says, okay, but you've never had a business. And I couldn't answer that. So now I own a business.
Now you own a business. There you go. So I want to talk a little bit about, and Dr. Simmons, I'll get back to you in just a second for some of the specifics. But we all know, I mean, the realities are, you know, it's one thing to decide that you want to go to medical school. It's another thing when it comes to paying for medical school. Odell, talk to me a little bit about that process and how you have maneuvered through it.
It's definitely an adjustment, especially going from college to medical school. Medical school is very, very expensive. And for Pitt, the tuition is about $80,000 per year. So it's very expensive. It's a very hard thing to navigate with loans and things like that. Even being in state and having in state tuition only decreasing tuition by $2,000. It's not really a help. Medical school is not really, they're not very helpful in terms of funding and scholarships. So there's very few scholarships. Fortunately, though, I was blessed to have one of the diversity scholarships from the school, which basically pays for all of my medical school for the whole 4 years of medical school.
Wow.
So I honestly got lucky. But it's not. There's not too many people that receive those scholarships, so it's very, very difficult to pay for medical school, in a general sense.
So, would the inability to pay for medical school be a deterrent?
It can be for some people. You can finish this question. I'm sorry.
No. That's fine. Go ahead. That's exactly what I was looking for.
Yeah. For sure, it definitely can be, and a lot of people decide not to go to medical school because of the cost, because of different things that they have going on, but you know, they have their own family, or you know, they may be struggling to pay for, you know, to finish paying for college, and it, you know, maybe a greater step to pay for medical school. So there's a lot of people that have deterred, and I know a lot of people, myself personally, that have deterred from going to medical school, maybe went to pharmacy school or graduate school, something that was, you know, didn't cost as much to kind of achieve a different career path because of the price of medical school.
And so, Dr. Simmons, then that's the perfect segue to talk about the upcoming scholarship luncheon, recognition luncheon that Gateway Medical Society is hosting on the 29th, I believe it is, of October, because these scholarships can be make or break.
Yes. Get the students to be older in high school and getting ready to go to college, we make available to them all of the scholarships or all of the local scholarships, the different sororities, fraternities, the different groups in town that give monies to students. We try to get them to apply to all of those so that they can get the funds that they need, and many of them get more than what they need for colleges. Gateway Medical Society has been a mission and an obligation to try to help the students, whether they be in the college or in medical school, to give them funds, those that are and try to reward those who are going above and beyond and doing great things, and so that we can just highlight them, because many other places don't tend to highlight and give appreciation to our students, to keep them encouraged, to keep them going. And that has been a mission for Gateway Medical Society, and they are doing a superb job at that. Many of the mothers and families of the kids, when they're in Journey to Medicine, that's one of the biggest questions that the moms have, is saying, okay, you want to get them interested in going to college now, but I can't pay for that. I don't have that kind of money. And our answer has always been the same thing, is that the kids, give us a chance and we'll see, because the kids can pay for it themselves. When they get better scores on the SAT and the PSAT and they get into these colleges, they tend to get scholarships and along with the awards and loans enough to significantly and sometimes totally pay for the college education basically themselves. And so this is what we're shooting for, to have the kids to a point where when they apply to various colleges, they get the kind of support from that college, whether it be support from scholarships or grants that will help them pay for it, so it doesn't become a burden for their family.
So then, looking at the event coming up on the 29th, it's an opportunity to celebrate those students who are getting scholarships, and I'm guessing it's also a fundraiser for Gateway Medical to provide future scholarships.
Absolutely. We give scholarships, and the event itself helps to support future scholarships that we are giving to various students.
And Odell, I'm going to ask you this. We're going to have to. Oh no, we got. I thought we had a break, but we got a couple more minutes. I'm guessing, given the scholarship award that you received, that then gives you an opportunity to focus on the work, to focus on the academics, without worry about how you're going to pay for it.
Absolutely, and it's such a great benefit too, because, you know, it's just something less not to think about. You know, honestly, I could just go do you know, do what I got to do, keep my head down, without having to worry about how I'm going to pay off loans and worry about the stress hanging over your head about, when I get done with residency and things like this, I have to pay $200,000 to $300,000 in, you know, in loans. So it definitely helps me focus on the work and keep my head down and get things done.
So this might come off as kind of random, but as I listen to you talk, I'm just curious, like, how hard is this? How hard is it? You're in what year medical student?
So I'm a rising third year.
Okay. All right.
First year, technically.
All right. So how hard is it?
Oh, it's rough. It's definitely rough. The first 2 years for surely, you're just doing book work. So you're learning all the different physiology and different components of the body, different systems, things like that. And that's really hard. You really have to dedicate yourself and have a, you know, disciplined schedule. And once you get your scheduling down, once you become disciplined and keep to your schedule, it becomes more easy, but I'm not going to say it comes easy at all. It becomes more easy for you to kind of maintain your focus, but it's definitely hard. It's definitely hard, and it's definitely hard to study with having a limited amount of people that you can study with. You know, sometimes, you know, due to COVID, some of the, you know, people that you want to study with, you know, it's kind of hard because people had the fear of COVID. And then, you know, other times, you know, some people don't study as well together as others. So it's definitely difficult. It's kind of like a self-directed type of thing in medical school in terms of studying and being able to be on top of your own thing. So it's definitely rough for sure.
And have you had to sacrifice a social life? I mean, you know, let's be honest, at your age, social life is important, but it doesn't sound like you have much time for one.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I definitely had to sacrifice social life in a lot of different aspects. I missed a lot of people's birthdays. I'm in a fraternity, so a lot of my line brothers and some of my fraternity brothers have birthday parties that don't live, you know, in Pittsburgh. So I had to miss a lot of their birthday parties and different events that they've had. And, you know, definitely vacationing. There's a lot of vacations that I would like to go on, but I couldn't go on. A lot of my friends, you know, go on different vacations and things like that. So I definitely have missed out on a lot of things. But, you know, you have to keep in mind that it's going to be worthwhile, and it's something that, you know, you definitely – you got to see the light at the end of the tunnel, you know, basically.
Yeah, I'm tired just thinking about all that. But we're going to tell folks how they can get involved, how they can be supportive. The event is coming up on the 29th of October. I am flattered to once again be asked to host or MC the event. We'll give you the details on that, how you can get tickets and so much more in just a minute when Minority Health Matters continues right here on KDKA. We are back on a Saturday afternoon. This is Minority Health Matters. I am Lynn Hayes Freeland, and we do this show in cooperation with Gateway Medical Society, their Journey to Medicine program. Coming up later this month, the organization, Gateway Medical Society, will be recognizing and celebrating scholars, some with actual checks in hand. Odell, let me get you first. As I mentioned, and Dr. Simmons concurred, that having people support this event ultimately translates into having more money to give local scholars. So make a pitch. Tell folks why this is so important.
Oh, I mean, it's important in so many different ways. I mean, the program itself has kind of shaped my journey and has gave me opportunities to be where I am today. Without, you know, the people in the program, like Dr. Simmons, Dr. Madison, so many other people to name, I wouldn't be where I am today. Or at least I wouldn't be here in such a easier manner. It would be a much harder road, to be honest with you. But it's very important in that standpoint, as well as, you know, money, like how we talked about earlier, money and scholarships. It can just help somebody out of a tough spot and help them achieve their goals or dreams. Is something that they always wish to do with their lives, and then you'll make better for them, families, and for themselves. So it's definitely important in that standpoint, and it's definitely important in terms of, you know, just, I don't know, making our community better and making our community have some more representation in the medical field, for sure.
And I'm going to ask Dr. Simmons in just a second to give us specifics on how folks can buy tickets or come out and support the event on the 29th, but I want to ask you before I make that switch back. Dr. Simmons early on talked about the role of mentors in the program and the fact that mentors stay with the students in the program. Tell me a little bit about how the mentorship of this program helped you.
Oh, yeah. The mentorship is phenomenal. And like Dr. Simmons said earlier, it's not just one mentor. You know, I've had probably about, more than I can even name, I probably had like about 20 mentors that I've had that I can rely on and literally have them on, you know, speed dial, so to speak. I can text any of them if I wanted to. I can ask them to go to dinner, you know, whatever, talk about anything that we needed to talk about. Or if I'm stuck in a position where I may need some guidance or something to that nature, I can just call them at any time whenever it's necessary. Because, you know, they're just an extended family to me. That's what they become to me. And the mentorship has, you know, shaped my goals and my dreams as well, in the standpoint that, you know, I always will have support from them whenever I need it and whenever I need it most, for sure.
There you go. I want to ask you what kind of medicine you're interested in, but I'll circle back to that in just a second. Dr. Simmons, so the event is coming up on the 29th of this month. It is called the Future of Medicine Awards and Scholarship Luncheon. Tell folks how they can get tickets and all that kind of good stuff.
Gateway Medical Society has, you can call their office. And I'm looking right now for the main office because it slips my mind, and I'm trying to get that for you right now. But in any case, contacting the Gateway Medical Society office, one of the phone numbers for the Journey to Medicine phone, and anyway, that can also help you, is area code 412 is 807-8832. But there's another main number, but this one here will also.
Don't stress yourself, because I'm guessing they can find that on the website as well, no?
They can find it on the website. But the benefit of doing that, the Gateway Medical tries to celebrate Black physicians in the community, because many times these are unsung heroes that have gone and done many great things, but never get the recognitions that they truly need. And they've done things for the community, things in medicine, that they don't tend to get that accolades that some of our white colleagues get. And so what we've done is that by having the Physician of the Year awards, we're able to put a spotlight on these kinds of achievements by these physicians. And also in the same thing in the medical school, many of our medical students of color, they are working extremely hard. They are working, they are doing great things, and there isn't any organized way to actually support them, celebrate them, show them that they're doing a great job. And this is one of the things that Gateway Medical Society tries to step in and do by having events like this, and they're able to get these students to recognize that there are a support structure. There are people there that are behind them, and they're there for them, that they can call and talk with, and also financial support to give them so that they can continue their journey. So that's some of the things that Gateway does. And they also have been the premier group in town talking about COVID-19. They have also talked about other kinds of things, diabetes, hypertension, whatever. They've been many of our doctors have been on radio shows and so forth, trying to spread the word to the inner city, to people, and giving them necessary information and needed and factual information on their own health concerns.
And we got about a minute left before we go. And that's why what we do on the first Saturday of every month becomes so important, because whether it's COVID or, you mentioned earlier, maternal outcomes, there are issues that confront the African-American community that if we're not talking about them, no one else is.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's why we try to talk about all of these kinds of issues, just to keep them in the forefront, and to also make other people recognize that these are things that needs to be discussed to the patients that they see.
There you go. And Odell, I said I wanted to circle back. So you're a rising third year medical student. What is your area of specialty or special interest at this point?
My interest right now is orthopedic surgery, the sports medicine track. That's pretty much my interest so far.
Sounds good. Gentlemen, thanks so much for joining us today. Good conversation. Good stuff.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
Absolutely. I appreciate you. And don't forget, you can always go to the Gateway Medical Society, go to their website. They're on Facebook. They're on all the social media. Lots of good information there, whether it pertains to you or someone else, or a student that might be interested in the Journey to Medicine program. I am Lynn Hayes Freeland. I thank you so much for joining us. And, you know, again, like I said, we do this the first Saturday of every month right here on KDKA. Have a great Saturday.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.